filet. Also get some wraps, healthy wraps over there. Salmon for the young lady in your life. Also, they have a nice patio outside. They do have more TVs than any place you're going to find in this entire area. Big screen, high definition. They got a Golden Tee 2012, shuffleboard, pool tables. You name it, they got it. Not only that, here very soon they'll be putting in a golf simulator, which means you just bring your clubs. You can play all kinds of courses, Augusta, Pebble Beach. You can rent it out, have some fun with your friends. I'll give you more info about that when the fellas come up and talk about it. It's the Tavern Sports Grill. That's at the Promenade at Chenal near the Chenal IMAX.
Well, let's bring in Chris Bond of ArkansasSports360.com. Hello, Chris Bond.
Hey, what's up?
Not much.
I got a question.
Yeah.
The salmon, you say it's for the young lady in your life.
Yeah, that's right, big guy.
Is that only because it's a sports bar, or is salmon like not a manly food?
Well,
put me in that category then, because I love salmon.
I do too. I was like, oh, this is news to me.
Admittedly, when's the last time you guys had salmon?
In the last week.
Okay. Yeah, I would say within the last 7 days. Not at a sports bar, though.
No.
So, I mean, I get that.
Right, yeah, but I think that, you know, when you are a man, you probably look at it and say, salmon? Yeah, that sounds good. Maybe once every while you do that.
Huh.
But most of the time, the guys that I know, they go and get a steak.
Steak?
It's fine. You guys know different guys maybe than
I've had a steak and salmon combo platter before. I'm not above it. I like salmon. It's in my top three fish.
Yeah,
okay. That's fine.
Because you can do salmon a lot of different ways, Pat.
You can do salmon a lot of different ways. I can't tell you the last time I went out and my guy's like, hey, man, and they do have salmon on the menu.
Well, like last night I went to Crazy Mike's, I had blackened tilapia. You know why I didn't get blackened salmon? Because he didn't have it.
Right, yeah, but certainly if you're looking for some fish, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think that you go out all the time looking for some fish.
Well, you go out looking all the time for sushi, so I mean, is that manly?
I'll have sushi,
yeah,
but I won't go like say, hey, bro, you want to go get sushi with me tonight?
I know guys who do that, and I made fun of them for that. I'm with you. At least
I have sushi.
We found common ground there. I'm with you.
Okay, see, the thing about sushi is sushi served at typically a sushi restaurant. Salmon, at least, is served at a normal restaurant where you get other foods.
Salmon's fantastic.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, nothing against sushi. It just never comes to my mind.
Then let's go to the Revolution Hotline and agree to disagree on certain things and talk to our delicate little flower, Chris Bond, who likes to eat salmon.
Love it.
That's good. That's why the guy's such a fit dude over there. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Look at Chris Bond and look at us. He eats salmon.
Point.
We don't eat it enough.
Chris, do you still wear the same size as you did when you were in college? You got to.
He's probably smaller.
I'm getting back down to it. I'm starting to hit the gym a couple times a week.
What? Wait a minute, you're eating salmon and you're doing Zumba? I gotta worry about you, buddy. I'm a little worried about you
spin
now.
Spin class.
I'm not doing spin class. I'm actually lifting like actual weights.
Lifting weights. Do you have lifting gloves? Do you have weight gloves?
No, but there's a dude that comes to my gym who wears like the gloves you would wear to work in your garden.
That's awesome. I love this guy.
That guy eats salmon. No chance. I love those guys. And then I love the guys who wear jeans. Guys who wear jeans to the gym. I love that guy. I love softball guy who wears jeans to the softball game. I love that guy too.
The guy who wears jeans to the gym has one thing in mind. Chest and curls. That's it. Chest and arms. That's all he ever thinks about. And some back workout.
And I like it when he rests the bar on his gut. But he's got these gigantic guns.
No, I used to see these like the construction guys. Yeah. They'd wear their construction boots, jeans, tank top, and that's it. Then they'd go lift. Good for them. Not salmon guys.
It's fine if you're going to Muscle Beach. I'm not so cool at an actual
Muscle
gym.
Beach.
Meanwhile, I'm working out in a shirt that says I love bacon. So, you know.
I ate some yesterday. We were at the Arkansas State Fair kickoff event. I had chocolate-covered bacon. That's the only way to ride.
Bacon could be great for you.
That sounds outstanding.
Mm-hmm,
could
mm-hmm.
be.
Tyler Wilson, we got a little worried at the end of the show. We started getting Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback, which, by the way, has destroyed DTS's credibility, but honestly is batting 1,000 in the zone. Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback has never led us astray. We found out Willie Robinson was being fired that way, and I got about four of them late in the show yesterday that Tyler Wilson had been involved in an accident. So we held our collective breath yesterday, and then we found out it was only a minor accident, which is one of two things. An accident where nobody gets hurt, or an accident that doesn't happen to you. In this case, luckily, nobody got hurt.
Yeah, he was fortunate. I mean, and he even went off the road and into the, I don't guess they have a guardrail up yet, but they have some guard wire.
Yeah, the cables, that's a brilliant invention yep. because it does keep you from going across the median into the oncoming traffic, which is a bad, bad thing.
Yeah, that'd be bad time. So, but he's okay. I bet it'll be sore today.
That's what I
said.
He'll
feel it today.
Well, what was the injury? I mean, what happened to him?
He got rear-ended, Pat.
He got rear-ended. Mm-hmm. Yep. Somebody, a couple of cars out stopped in front of him. He put on his brakes, and the dude behind him in the Chevy Astro van or whatever it was didn't stop in time.
Yeah, this is how this goes. What happened? Well, I put on my brakes, and see this guy over here? He did not put on his brakes. Luckily, he was not seriously injured. But, yeah, I was comparing it earlier, Chris, to a really hard leg workout. It doesn't hurt as much the next day, but the day after that is when you really get stiff and sore.
If you haven't worked your legs out in a while, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't since 1993. So,
but, he looked good in practice. We got a chance to watch for a little bit. He was out there throwing and, big relief for everybody. But it's just kind of par for the course for this weird year they're having.
No doubt.
Paul Petrino said, at this point, you just run when your phone rings. You don't want to answer it.
Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing where it's like, Tyler Wilson injured in freakish accident, slams his foot to the ground and to brace himself for the accident and breaks his toe and will not be available the rest of the season. And that's the kind of year it's been. Luckily, it all worked out. Maybe this is a sign of good things to come. What's up with Greg? This is the most bizarre to me. I mean, I've heard of deep bruises, but not one that keeps you out three games, but it looks like he's on his way.
Well, isn't this what Hillis had way back when? Didn't he have a deep bruise?
Yeah, but it was a thigh deal. And so, I mean, look, if it gets in your thigh, okay. I thought it was like a shin deal. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what part of his leg was injured.
Yeah, well, we know it's above the foot and below the waist.
And below the shoulder.
It's
a below the shoulder injury. Shin bone's connected to the knee bone. I'm almost sure of that. But I can't imagine a bruise that, and look, I mean.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's a little surprising that he's still. I mean, and Paul didn't seem to leave much room for him to be out there.
Yeah,
he said he doubts it. So,
yeah, but can you believe a injury report you get from the Arkansas staff these days?
No.
I mean, here's the way I look at it: Tevin Mitchell had his head ripped off and a gallbladder taken out, and he's coming back this week.
Isn't that great? Good for that kid.
No kidding. I thought for sure medical redshirt.
Yep. I thought. Yeah, man, that was scary. I thought maybe he was done.
Yeah.
So, but he's back, got him in practice. It looks like he's running second team with the corners right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's good to play and can help them, I'll be shocked if we don't see him out there a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't mean to be I'm the same guy I said a week ago, the only guy that has any chance of making any SEC, all SEC team on defense is Highsmith. But from what I've seen from the backup linebackers, and it seems to me they've been pretty steady and they seem pretty comfortable back there, and yes, they're young still, and I'm sure there'll be some mistakes. But if I had to choose which guy I wanted, I'm not sure that I wouldn't take Mitchell at this point just because of the lack of depth at that particular position.
Yeah. Although, I got to tell you, I mean, I think McKinney and Will Hines have performed well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of those sacks last week that Arkansas got were actually because they were covering people, and the quarterbacks couldn't get the ball down the field. So they're playing well. They're aggressive, which seemed to be one of the issues with Winston and some of those other guys over the years. They were kind of timid back there, and that does not seem to be the case with Hines and McKinney. And we know Tevin Mitchell isn't a timid kid. He'll go out there and hit you and play aggressive. So I'd love to see him back on the field.
Yeah, the other thing is, of course, that we had Ross Rasner actually turn his head around, find the ball, make an interception, which was awesome.
That was good.
It was neato. I haven't seen that all year. That was cool.
We haven't seen that in 4 years.
Well, there's that. So, and the thing is, he's sort of like a guy that we work with here who will remain nameless, but there are certain people you would like to clone and have them do a couple different things for you. But he's one of those guys. You'd like to have him kind of be that monster that Bowie used to be, plus play some defensive back, but he can only be in one spot at a time. And he's certainly valuable back there on the back end, so that's good. Well, have you started looking through the numbers much, Chris, as far as the Arkansas-Kentucky matchup?
I know Kentucky is not as bad statistically as Auburn was going into last week, but I mean, we're talking about an offense that's 12th in the conference, and they're down to about their fifth quarterback. They got a freshman who's going to play, Jalen Whitlow, who was actually an ASU commitment up until about 24 hours before signing day. But anyway, so they got a freshman back there, so I can't imagine offensively we'll see much out of them. Defensively, it's about the same for them. I don't have specific numbers, but they're not good. Kentucky's really bad.
Yeah, they're worse than Kentucky, or they're worse than Auburn on defense, but not as bad as Auburn on offense. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yep. I still think this is another team Arkansas will be able to outscore.
Yep. Well, Kentucky does have the next to worst scoring defense in the league. That's the good news. Bad news is Arkansas has the worst scoring defense in the league.
They only gave up 7 last week, and they still have the worst scoring defense in the league. Think about that for a minute.
Oh, here's the good news, too. They actually have the next to worst scoring or total offense in the league, too. Kentucky's 13th, just ahead of Auburn. Meanwhile, Arkansas is averaging like 80-some yards more, or right around 80 yards more, I guess, than Kentucky is. So, for what that's worth.
Arkansas just can't get it in the end zone.
Yeah, Kentucky can't either. They're averaging 20 points a game. Arkansas is averaging 23 points a game. That's it. I guess the shutout in the game at A&M.
Yeah.
I think those are not necessarily going to be the case this week. I imagine they'll put up some big numbers.
Yeah, and I think they. I don't want to put too big of an emphasis on this because it was just Auburn. But I thought the move where Paul Petrino went upstairs. I thought that opened up some of the play calling, and I thought Arkansas looked more efficient. Tyler had his best game throwing, and so I would expect to see that carry over this week. They'll be a little better offensively, less predictable, and they'll start to put some points on the board.
I'd imagine Tyler appreciates that a lot more, him being way up there instead of screaming and throwing his hat and kicking things on the field and just – I can't imagine during a game that Tyler Wilson appreciates that kind of treatment, especially as long as he's been there and what he knows about the offense.
Yeah, both of those guys yesterday talked about it being, with Paul in the box, took the emotion out of the game. and Tyler was able just to kind of zero in and focus on what he needed to do. And Paul was able to watch the game more like he was watching game film, which he's really good at watching and breaking down. So it was an office environment for him rather than being on the sideline and getting into the emotion of it. So,
had he talked about why he didn't do that before, and is that something that he has done, in years past? What really tipped the scales for him this time?
He's been in the box for the most part before. The reason he had been on the field was because he's coaching quarterbacks this year, and he felt like, especially with the relationship he and Tyler had developed in the offseason, he felt like it was more beneficial to be on the field so they could communicate. But both of the guys said earlier this week and after the game, the communication was actually better with Paul 3 or 4 stories above the field. Because, they could just talk to each other over the phone and not get distracted and not yell at each other.
Talk to each other over the phone, huh? Text message, tweet each other. Makes sense.
I got some Keith Lee Service Company Live fan feedback about Tank Wright. You hearing anything on Tank?
No, I know he didn't practice yesterday. He wasn't dressed out. We should probably know something right about now. John L's on the conference call, the SEC coaches call, so I bet he's probably updating folks.
Well, there's a report here that he may not be back, so we'll have to get that. We've got clips from the coach at Arkansas coming up as well, so we'll see if we can...
Chris, I overheard that conference call, and John L. Smith was asked about somebody got arrested this morning. Did you hear anything about that?
No.
But this conference call is very
compelling. Just poked my head when Trey Schapp was in there, and Bob Holt asked about a player of someone being arrested if he was going to play this weekend. And John L. Smith said, yeah, he's playing, and there was really no more backstory on that one.
Interesting. Well, we got a lot to learn from this whole deal. We'll talk about it coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm in the car traveling.
Well, so, look, you're on with us. We're totally screwing you over here, buddy.
Wright apparently is done for the year.
Okay, that's not good.
Nope.
Although they did well without him last week, I will say. Flowers continue to step it up.
Yep. Yeah, and we had heard all summer, all fall camp and preseason, how impressed they were with Flowers. So it was nice to see him play well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it helped that he was matched up against a really terrible offensive line. But, you know, that's the kind of game where a guy could build a lot of confidence off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now the coaches know they're capable of getting some pressure on people so they can turn them loose instead of whatever they've been doing maybe previously.
What year is he, Chris?
Who's that?
Flowers?
He's a sophomore.
Oh, wow, that's exciting. Also, by the way, Tyler Wilson has just barely moved ahead of Tyler Bray in the passing yards per game, in case anybody's interested in such things. 317 a game. He is 0.6 of a yard per game ahead of Tyler Bray, so he has moved into the number one position as passing yards per game go. Okay, sure.
I'm wondering where he is on the completion percentage. You know, he completed about 78% of his passes the other day.
Yeah, he's 101 of 174, and I don't have the math on it, but I would guess he's slightly behind Bray on that. Bray's been pretty good as well. How about 104 out of 150 for Manziel at A&M? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too.
Yeah, that's, like, super good.
I thought Tyler played really well, even though he didn't have a touchdown the other day. He played well, and he didn't force anything or do anything dumb, which has kind of been a problem for them, so... Good for Tyler.
Yes. He is actually, though, eighth in the league in efficiency. So he was up towards the top for the better part of the year, had a couple of games where, you know, a couple of picks that I'm sure he'd love to have back. But you know what? As long as they win six games, I'm sure he probably wouldn't care at this point. But certainly that would be, we know there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Kobe Hamilton, also the number one receiver in the league at 112 yards a game, the only guy in the league over 100 yards per game. So that's impressive. Got some good things happening on the offensive side, statistically speaking, at least. What about Nile Davis? What's the situation there, Chris? Any update?
It's not himself. I mean, we wondered if maybe he was hurt, and Paul said after the game he wasn't hurt. He didn't practice well and didn't look good. So they decided to go with Dennis. And you know, Dennis to me has looked like the best running back they've had all year.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they finally decided to give him a go, and he protected the football and ran really well. And I thought that made a huge difference in the game the other day. So hopefully they can continue to get some production out of him, and maybe Nile will become Nile again. Because he looked so good, you know, for a quarter against A&M, and then just kind of disappeared.
Well, is he 100%? You feel like he is talking with him?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I think physically he's healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think mentally he's where he needs to be.
That's so tough, man. Especially everything that he's been through. Well, the team has been through. Just you know, all the changes and ups and downs. It's, you know, one thing getting your body right, but I've always said that mental rehabilitation is just as important, if not more important. So hopefully, you know, it's still got plenty of time to.
Yep.
Prove people that he is as good as we, you know, everyone thought he was.
And I think back to Greg Childs last year, and you know, when they tested him when he was in practice, you know, drills and all that, he looked sharp, he looked really good, but it took him until, you know, 8-10 weeks into the year to really become himself. And that may be where we're at with Nile, is he needs a little more time to continue to get better.
No chance he sticks around next year, is there?
I mean, it doesn't look good for him. I mean, I don't think his draft stock's going to be very high, but I think Nile had counted on this being his last year as a.
When he gets to that combine and they look at his body up close, oh my God!
Yeah,
they're going to be drooling.
Yeah, and he, in testing, I mean, he's been unbelievable, and really throughout practice and preseason camp, he looked really good. Until the whole contact thing. But he's got the measurables. It's a very similar situation to Greg last year. I mean, Greg went to the combine and had an okay combine, and then he did the pro day, and the scouts were like, holy crap, this guy's unbelievable.
We do have a comment about the arrest, Chris, from the coach at Arkansas. He didn't really want to talk about it, obviously, as you might expect.
It has not, but I don't know what they've gone through, but I do know what we've gone through, and it's just...
That's not the one. It's this one.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Jeno. How you doing?
Good.
I'm sure you know about Chris Smith's arrest this morning.
Yes.
What the reaction is, and okay, could you kind of explain that decision?
We'll get that handled.
My understanding is it's a failure to appear deal. So
yeah,
maybe not a big, big situation. So, primetime at the Palace Friday, Chris. Don't forget, basketball begins this week, and Pat is very excited about it. Pat Bradley's going to be
big guy.
Judging a dunk contest in one of the great ironies in life.
I got great ideas. I could talk to the one and only Tony Bond about all my ideas.
Pat told me that he was quite a dunker back in the day, though.
Pat, could you dunk?
Could I dunk? Could I? I'm not even going to answer that question. I'm going to John L. Smith, you guys.
We'll handle that.
Check the media guide, Chris. Think he couldn't dunk.
Come on.
Just check the media guide.
Come on,
Chris. I think there was a photo in there of him dunking, but...
Come on.
I'm just trying to remember. It's been many years.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, too, actually.
Yeah.
Basketball should be fun, huh?
Oh, it's going to be great. I can't wait. You know, I was looking at some of the preseason
It'll be less
deals.
Unfun.
I love the non-conference matchups. Syracuse coming to Fayetteville.
Chris, who has a better chance of making the postseason, the Razorback basketball team or the Razorback football team?
Basketball.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying there's a chance. I like that.
Yeah, I think this could be a tournament theme. Pat, don't you think?
Yes, I do. I think that is definitely a very reachable goal.
I think they're a preseason bubble, and
getting
I think there's
turning.
Definitely a good chance. I'm excited. I mean, we've been saying this thing for a while. We keep trying to find ways to be excited or reasons to be excited, but if they are healthy, which you never know, as we have learned the hard way all too many times, but, man, if they're healthy, you got to think they're going to be pretty solid.
Yep.
I'm really – Marshawn Powell is going to be the cog. I mean, that's going to be the key.
If
he's healthy, they're going to be tough. If he's not quite right, I mean, you know, again, when he's been through injuries a couple times. So, here's hoping.
Yeah, we'll find out more about these guys, obviously, in the next couple weeks after practice and a couple exhibition games.
Exhibition. All right.
We got media day tomorrow for hoops. So
that's
maybe we'll talk a little more on Friday.
Pat, are you going up there?
I can't.
No, you screwed that
deal.
QALR. Forgot about that.
You know what's funny, though? Tomorrow is media day. We're trying to get Coach Anderson on for tomorrow. Well, I hope that doesn't throw any.
He's not going on until like 2 or 2:30, so I think it's probably fine.
Okay, good.
But we will have Trey Schaap, our man in Amsterdam, on the case, so we'll be hearing some from the coaches and players. Chris, we're going to run. We appreciate the time. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas.
Chris. Thanks. Somebody was ringing on the doorbell. You going to get that? I'll take care of business while you
come
get the doorbell.
Come in!
Boy, they know how to push our buttons around here, don't they?
Mm-mm.
Landers, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, in.